Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and secret assistant to the regional manager, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James Urkelgrew.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I feel better.
Good. I'm glad you feel better. This has been a wonderful day. I have to say, I like hanging out with a vengeful bitch.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The
Office. Draw his penis.
NBC's The Office. This week, another relationship episode. We're doing Dwight and Pam. I'm so excited to talk about Dwight and Pam. Later in the episode, we have a few mailbag questions and some listener-provided trivia. But yeah, guys, Dwight and Pam.
Dwam. Pipe.
Yeah, Dwight and Pam have a very unique relationship within the show, in part because of Dwight and Jim's dynamic and, of course, Jim and Pam's relationship. They play off each other quite a bit. Pam is often the only one who kind of understands where Dwight is coming from or kind of extends this like friendship or kindness to him when a lot of the other characters don't, when Dwight has kind of pushed them away. And especially as the later in the show, I feel like their relationship takes an even more friendship sort of tilt, I guess.
It's totally, you know, Pam, of course, we've always spoken about her emotional intelligence and just being able to read people in the office very well. But Dwight has a great deal of respect for Pam also.
It does. It comes and goes. And certainly, I would say in the first half of The Office, Dwight almost seems like he doesn't really have a ton of respect for anyone except authority, which includes Michael. But then, yeah, as you said, as the show evolves and Dwight becomes a little more complex. Pam becomes more complex, and they actually start to sort of gravitate towards each other. They often need each other for what they're good at, right? Dwight needs Pam to talk about some issue he's having with Angela or someone else, or he needs a softer touch with a problem. And often Pam recruits Dwight when she needs tactical help, when she needs some espionage, when
some muscle.
She needs more of a hammer, you know, to get the job done. So they actually, their skill sets are actually quite compatible, and they need each other from time to time.
They make a good team.
Mm-hmm. There is an interesting sort of dynamic where at the beginning of the show, Dwight is pitted against Jim and Pam together a lot of the time, where mm-hmm. Jim comes up with a prank and Pam kind of amplifies the prank. And Jim is pranking Dwight in a way to impress her or to make her laugh.
Right.
But that seems to happen less and less over the course of the show, or at least it seems like Jim is pranking for his own entertainment, right? Or yeah. Back at Dwight in some sort of way.
There's the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. And to me, to sort of succinctly say what I just said, whereas like sometimes Dwight needs a pen and sometimes Pam needs a sword. And those are when they need each other.
There you go.
It makes for really good, just very good episodes, very good plot lines throughout the entirety of the show, the two of them.
Definitely.
Does that phrase come from that pewter wizard that Dwight was going for? There's a pen in one hand and a sword in the other for the wizard.
That just might be. That just might be.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
I'll take the wizard.
There you go. As like you were saying, you know, Pam joins in on a lot of pranks. I'd say like in season one in the Alliance, we really see her get involved and really try to she doesn't care about Dwight that much. I think we see it in the fire too, when they try to like they're kind of, Pam and Jim are kind of snickering while Dwight is kind of crying in his car and they're trying to convince him to quit. I think that the beginning of the Dwight and Pam friendship absolutely starts with the injury in season 2, episode 12.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Big time. And is even referenced between them in later episodes as
it certainly is. Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking of Dwight holding the baby, you know, remember
viewing
remember
party.
When I took you to the hospital, remember? Yeah. Concussion.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
So yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, Dwight gets a concussion as he's driving out of the parking lot to go and save Michael, and because of this concussion, he's all of a sudden a very charming, likable guy. Right? Yeah. They kind of have Pam and Dwight have this whole conversation about this, you know, off-brand MP3 player that Roy bought.
It's
for
a Prism Duro Sport.
There you go. There's a bit of trivia for you.
Wow. Wow.
I think it was a trivia question once.
Yeah.
Right.
An early form of the Saber Pyramid. Saber Prism.
But yeah, Dwight's like explaining to her, like, there's this Russian website where she can download all these songs for like a penny. And then he's like, oh, the only problem is they're all in Russian. And she's like, oh my God, Dwight. And then he's just like, kidding. Which is so un-Dwight. Mm-hmm. It's too good. Too good of a joke.
Same thing with the case and how it's indestructible and has her throw it.
Mm-hmm. You
know, oh, it's broken. No.
It's not broken.
You can throw it all day long if you want. I think I love, too, the way when he does that and he walks away from the desk, he does a little tap. He does a little drum that's very reminiscent of it's very Halpert-esque.
It is.
Extremely.
Yeah.
It's the Halpert beat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love too, when Dwight says, is that a Prism Duro Sport? And Pam says, you've seen one of these?
You've seen one of these?
Yeah.
Despite being very agrarian, I mean, Dwight, as we know, he recognizes the Bluetooth that Jim is using, the tiny one. You know, he must have, if anyone on The Office was going to have a subscription to some kind of gadget magazine, it would probably be Dwight.
He identifies,
not surprised that he knows what that is.
He identifies the train by the sound that it makes. When they're
You're
staking out Daryl's house. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a run-of-the-mill slaughterhouse, but come by anytime.
You know,
Go ahead.
It's worth pointing out, too, that this is the episode right after Booze Cruise. So there's, like, you know, I mean, certainly Jim and Pam are still having fun at Michael's expense, but I think when you see this kind of interaction between Dwight and Pam, you know, it cuts to Jim, like, you know, I mean, there's just a little tension there, right? He just broke up with... Amy Adams on the Booze Cruise, and it's getting real for him. So it hits a little harder that Dwight and Pam are getting along so well.
Yeah, there's that moment of realization where Pam says, oh my God, Dwight's kind of my friend.
Right.
And that's a unique statement early on in the show, but by the end of the series, when everyone is kind of close with everyone, it's a lot less of a surprise. And I think also we can look at Dwight's injury in parallel or alongside Michael's injury, where Michael is less hurt and is demanding so much attention, and he has to ask Pam to do all these things, rub butter on his foot. Wait, I have country crock. and Dwight has a more serious injury and is being more friendly, and Pam is gravitating towards him.
I have egg in my crocks.
Are you okay?
No!
We get that great moment at the end of the episode, too, when Pam is just kind of helping Dwight out right after Jim sprays him in the face as he's falling asleep on the couch.
That's a great little waking
I have to
up
go,
to that
spray. Go to the hospital.
Bottle. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Where are we going?
It's going to be different when you come back. Okay.
Oh, Pam, you're so adorable.
Oh, huggy hugs.
Boop on the nose.
Yeah, the little boop on the nose, yeah.
They do seem to find each other when they're each in vulnerable moments throughout the show. That's certainly one of them. We also have, even into like, you know, even in Money, when Jim and Pam, you know, he's crying in his room while they're staying overnight, you know, and they're both witnessing... Well, I guess Jim goes to actually witness that. But Pam and Jim, you know, they have this experience where they're clearly Dwight is, they just see him as a human. Really.
Yeah.
They see how much he can hurt or how much he's hurt by Angela. And that's just something that they never see in Dwight early on. And like you said, Edwin, they're sort of almost bullying Dwight earlier on in the show, like in the fire or when they just see him as this person without feelings and they kind of make fun of him behind his back all the time. And that slowly changes.
Early on, they're very adversarial, especially Dwight and Jim. Mm-hmm. There's an element of Dwight putting credit cards and stuff in the shredder while Jim is on the phone, or Dwight taking Jim's sale.
Right.
During, I believe it's Diversity Day, and you know, early on, I mean, just to go back to these early episodes, in the Alliance, when they first enter in the Alliance, Dwight says, "Don't tell anyone." And it cuts to Pam at the desk saying, "An Alliance?" So,
yeah.
And she's the one who comes up with the idea for Dwight to hide in the warehouse, mm-hmm. or she goes down there with and it fakes the phone call, or in healthcare. When Jim says, "I have all of these diseases," Pam is the one who's making up fictional diseases.
Right, right.
So
right.
They kind of play off each other in that way. But yeah, it's much less. If to what extent does it feel like they're bullying Dwight? That's an interesting question.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's something great that happens in season three. And I'm sorry if you can hear a cat meowing in the background. She's being talkative today. But back.
Sean! I'm hungry.
I want to eat bonbons. Honey. Yeah.
Very talkative cat you got there.
You know where milk comes from? Breasts.
This is the three of us doing different high-pitched office impressions that are supposed to also be Sean's cat.
That's right.
That's where we're at. But no, something really great happens though in season three when I think it's, you know, kind of because Jim goes away and then comes back with Karen Filippelli in a relationship with Karen now, that Pam kind of needs a friend in Dwight. And mm-hmm. that is exemplified in the episode Back from Vacation when Pam is kind of trying to find her new role in this, you know, trying to find a way to still be friends with Jim, basically, is what it seems like.
Yes.
And she's trying to help him and Karen with their relationship. And in doing so, she kind of helps them work through their problem. But then, of course, she has the realization that she's brought them even closer together, right? Yeah. And can't mm-hmm. be with Jim now. So we get her crying in the back of the warehouse. And Dwight is the one who comes to console her. First comes in and says, "Who did this to you?" Pulls out his finger guns.
Yeah.
Comes
in. Where is he? Yeah. Yeah. Who attacked
Where is
you?
He?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's misguided. He finishes it with saying, "You must be PMSing pretty bad," but
ties the jacket around the waist.
Yeah, right. You think he's going to put it over her shoulders or something?
I always wonder, like, when he takes his jacket off, is he going through that sort of calculus of, do I put this around her? Do I tie it around my waist? Like, does he know? He doesn't know what to do. And so he ties it around his waist and says, "It's hot."
I think he's, when confronted with a woman crying and he has no idea what to do, he got really nervous and he got the sweats mm-hmm. and he got flushed in the moment. And that's why he got hot. So he really did take his jacket off because he was suddenly like, "I don't know what to do now. I'm going to take this off." But
she says something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say early on, it does seem like the way Jim and Pam treat Dwight has a lot to do with the fact that Jim and Pam are not together yet, and that it's almost this bonding activity that Jim and Pam can do is make fun of Dwight, play pranks on Dwight, help each other out. And it's not until that Jim and Pam are actually like comfortable and together that they start to, they obviously still have a lot of run-ins with Dwight, but they start to become more friends with Dwight after that, as opposed to this thing they can do together against Dwight. That plays down a little more and they actually start to sympathize with Dwight from time to time.
I think too, there's speaking of season three, when Dwight quits and is working at Staples, Michael comes in and notices that no one has been watering the plant and that the cleaning mm-hmm. crew hasn't arranged his toys on his desk in a visually pleasing way. And Pam says, "That wasn't the cleaning crew. That was Dwight." So
right.
Pam sees these things that maybe other people in the office do not around Dwight.
Certainly. Later in season three is The Job, episodes 23 and 24, which is another favorite episode of mine for Jim and for Dwight and Pam, because we get Dwight as a regional manager for a minute. The first time that we get Dwight as regional manager. Mm-hmm. And he assigns Andy as his number two for political reasons, you wouldn't understand. And but makes Pam his secret assistant to the regional manager, which it turns out to be a really good call that Dwight made, because Pam really comes to his defense a few times during this episode. I just love that moment when he is having his lecture on soil and Pam says, come on, let's listen to Dwight's lecture. Yeah. And then he winks at her.
Yeah.
And then Oscar says, why are you winking? And Dwight goes, zip your lid.
Yeah, I love too when he first kind of broaches the topic where he says, you showed real leadership ability at the coal walk or at the fire walk. Of course, you followed up with that ludicrous display.
Yeah.
That's how Dwight does. He offers a compliment and then he immediately goes back on the offensive. And this is not a Pam moment when he's talking to Phyllis about his relationship with Angela and he says, that's really fattening, you know. Phyllis says, well, it's lettuce.
Dwight could be, and you have bad skin. Yeah. We're all making observations.
Do you I have ears, Dwight. Oh, do you really, Phyllis? Like we all do. You mentioned.
I'm sorry, I missed the meeting where we voted for Pam to get pregnant.
You mentioned that this idea of Pam needing a friend, and that's like a very interesting kind of idea because early on in the season, I think it's in the in Gay Witch Hunt, the first season or the first episode, where Pam is laughing at something. She looks at Ryan, and Ryan just says, "What?"
Yeah.
He doesn't play back. He doesn't reflect what she's kind of like offering to Ryan. So Ryan's not going to be that friend.
Side note: the scene where Ryan is commenting that Jim looks at me a lot, which would bother me or something, but it's nothing compared to the way Michael looks at me. Cut over to Michael looking through
peering through the blinds.
So Ryan, anyway. It's your girlfriend, and I'm mad. Sean, it's your cat, and I'm mad.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh gosh. Well, moving on to season 4, episodes 7 and 8 is Money, you brought up earlier. But yeah, I think like just that moment in the end of the episode when Pam is noticing Dwight kind of having a tough time, especially with Angela and Andy, I think at this point. She writes the really nice review on TripAdvisor. And he's like, I'm glad that you enjoyed your stay. And she's like, we really did, you know? That's a genuine, even in the job, she's kind of still messing with Dwight. Even though it does kind of build up his confidence a bit. I think in Money, that's a very genuine comment to him.
I think a moment where Pam and Dwight's relationship turns in that way, whereas Pam is pranking or joking or antagonizing Dwight in some way and turns to this more this way where she's trying to encourage him or something like that is in Launch Party Launch Party where Dwight is going up against the computer and Pam is taking on the role of Dunmiff Sis, I think it is. The name of that is the messenger. And they're going back and forth. And Dwight, they play off, how do I know this isn't Jim? And Jim walks away from the reception desk. And then at the end, the last thing that the computer says is, you beat me. You are the better man. Or you're the superior being.
Yeah.
And in between that, we see Angela go and ask Pam to be set up with one of her friends. I'd like to go on a date with a man.
That's right.
So Dwight goes even further down into his depression and Pam makes that sort of last appeal. But it isn't enough because Dwight wants to be with Angela. But I think from that point on, we do see, to your point in Money, Pam is a little less antagonistic towards Dwight.
Definitely. Even though it almost kind of,
my name is Dwight Schrute. If you are listening to this, you are a lucky woman Michael has seduced.
Michael has seduced.
Sorry, as you were.
After Money and Launch Party, I wasn't able to find anything significant until the end of season 5. And maybe I missed something, let me know. But Company Picnic, season 5, episode 28, is like, it's not really exactly a Dwight-Pam bonding moment, but just the way that Dwight recognizes Pam as a valuable member of their volleyball team and stalls as long as he can, mm-hmm. So that she can get back from the hospital. I think it was kind of showing their friendship and their bond. Just another example of it.
There is
an insane tactic, by the way, the amount he stalls. Like, if there was an entire company picnic, you know, with volleyball games, and I mean, how much time would it take to drive to the hospital, go through that whole thing? I mean, 30, 40 minutes, and Dwight's just like causing havoc in the middle of the volleyball. He punts the ball, you know?
Yeah, I'll go get it. The best case scenario is she comes back and plays again.
Yeah, I guess so.
On a sprain?
Right.
Yeah. And Dwight's like, no, we're coming. Or Jim's like, yeah, no, we're coming back. And it's like, you got to give up, man. You just got to go.
Yeah.
You know?
How many people have to get hurt? One, yeah, two, no,
two.
Let me finish.
Five. There is a moment of tension between Dwight and Pam that happens a little earlier in season five at the end of the Michael Scott Paper Company arc, when the two companies have been resorbed, to use Dwight's parlance.
Yeah.
Resorbed the fetus.
Now that Branch has the strength of a regular Dunder Mifflin Branch and the Michael Scott Paper Company.
Yeah.
Where Ryan loses Dwight's client on the phone, and Dwight says,
right,
he was my client for 10 years. And Pam says, you made him lose a client by screaming at him. And Dwight says, what do you know? You're a secretary and you're a temp and I'm confiscating your phone. So that leads to this moment of tension between them. And it kind of portrays the way that Dwight sees Pam, at least in this moment.
Yeah. I mean, Pam's a member of the Michael Scott Paper Company, and you know, Dwight has his beef with the Michael Scott Paper Company. So that it could be a hiccup in their relationship.
One of the reasons I really enjoyed looking into this topic is that it isn't incredibly consistent throughout the show. It really has peaks and valleys, mm-hmm. and it doesn't show up all the time. And for two main characters to have a relationship that isn't so close, the way that Jim and Dwight, Michael and Pam, Michael and Dwight kind of are, is interesting to kind of watch the peaks and valleys throughout the series.
Word. I think we've talked about it before, where it's like, you know, certain relationships like are earned in this show. And I think, you know, we've talked about some relationships that don't really feel that way. But this one certainly does. This one feels like, you know, they put in the time, it moves slowly. By the time you're getting to, you know, we'll get to it eventually, but Vandalism season 9, like, you know, their bond is very strong and believable.
And you mentioned consistency. I think that's something they both value in each other. You mm-hmm. know, they can count on each other to always to be who they are in certain scenarios. I'm thinking, I mean, I think there's a few times throughout the show this happens where they're just, I'm trying to think, the example that comes to mind is really just Jim recruiting Dwight to get rid of the bed bugs, to get Kathy out of his room. Mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like there's a few moments where Pam does that too with Dwight, and I can't think of one right now. But it's basically like, I'm expecting you to act like Dwight to help me out in this situation.
Right.
I would say in Dinner Party, when Dwight shows up and Pam says,
yes,
awesome.
That's a good
She's
one.
She's so excited that Dwight is there to bring his Dwightness to really shrewd up that dinner party. So that's a good moment. I think too, when you talk about character, depending on characters to be who they are, when Pam comes back from maternity leave, and she looks at her plant and she says to Jim, you couldn't have watered it. And Jim says, I literally just found out that thing was there. And Dwight says, well, I knew it was there and I chose to let it die. And Pam says, good to see you again, Dwight. And Dwight says, hello, Pam.
Yeah.
They go right back into it, you know.
Or even when she comes back from New York and he's right there wanting to make copies. Like,
right.
There's just like, Dwight also is this, I expect, Pam's back. Great. She has this useful role in my life, mm-hmm. and I'm glad to see her. But I also need these copies made. I'm not going inside. Yeah. First thing in the morning, then. Yeah. And I think while both of Jim and Pam often roll their eyes at Dwight's just general demeanor, it's like they also count on it. And Pam needs that sometimes in her life.
Mm-hmm. I think too. Definitely. There's one of my favorite pranks in the whole series is Dwight pranking Jim and Pam by having Erin pretend she won an art contest.
Oh yes.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, I got her. It's such a great prank.
Where's your pillow? Isn't that from that
scene?
I
know. It dawns on me that it's not right next to me. But,
sorry.
Yeah. For those who have never watched a video of us recording on Zoom, that Alex and I have these office pillows. Mine is of Dwight, and Alex's has a prison mic on it.
You've seen these sequin pillows on Instagram, probably.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
In case
you were wondering why Alex was saying, "Where's your pillow?" while I'm recording the podcast, you now have some context. Yeah.
That's a very good point to bring up. Thank you. I appreciate
Let's jump ahead to season six, the delivery, episode 17 and 18, when we get Dwight helping Jim and Pam by completely redoing their cabinetry in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But also there's just that great moment where Pam calls Dwight and is like, you know, go to my house, find this iPod. And he's like, don't tell me how to get in. I don't know. It's just another example of just them knowing each other so well. Dwight's like, you know, don't worry, I'll figure out how to get into your house.
There are a couple other moments in the delivery between Dwight and Pam. I'm thinking of when Pam is finally ready to go to the hospital and it's too late. And they say, well, call an ambulance. And Dwight says, no, you call an ambulance, I call the cops. And he's they're like, how dilated is she? Does anyone have a tape measure? And Dwight says, we don't. I do. And he holds up that tape measure that has DKS on the back. And then, of course, he offers to be her police escort.
Yeah.
With the siren on his car.
Yep.
And he's, you know, trying to get them there on time. So
Dwight always
happy
to slip into the cop role as needed, quickly, eagerly.
I guess I did skip Niagara, but just maybe the fact that Dwight, you know, hooks up with Isabel, Pam's very good friend, who we see again in this episode, The Delivery, and in Happy Hour, as we discussed last week. Another example of their closeness. But a very important episode for these guys is Viewing Party, season 7, episode 8.
Before we go to Viewing Party, really quickly, there is that cold open, and Alex, you alluded to it earlier, where Dwight reserves his right to peel his hard-boiled eggs at his desk.
Yeah, at my desk.
Up and everyone else throws up. That was one that was mentioned to us quite a bit when we drafted cold opens, is one that people really love. So
I thought it was worth
mentioning as a Dwight Pam moment. But let's go back to Viewing Party.
If I'm ever eating while watching The Office and that scene comes up, I have to skip it.
Really puts a damper on those hard-boiled eggs.
I love – where do you guys stand on hard-boiled eggs? I love them.
No way.
They're fine.
Oh, man. When I remember I'll make – cook them and just have them in the fridge for like – quick snacks. No, man, they're great.
I think they're fine. I don't know.
I don't like the way they smell. I don't like the way they feel. not a fan.
How about their taste?
Nope.
I do like eggs,
but not a hard-boiled egg.
A little bit of salt, a little dab of Tapatio on there. You like oysters so much. I find oysters repulsive, so I can't believe you don't like hard-boiled eggs.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this egg and oysters themed episode of the Michael Scott Podcast Company.
I just thought you were
fans
of
oysters and eggs. Four fans of oysters and eggs.
Sean, you love the act of shucking. I thought you'd like the act of peeling as well.
Peeling a hard-boiled egg? Well, maybe I'll give it another shot sometime.
What if I get you a fancy peeling knife? Then I bet
for a hard-boiled egg?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, if there's some gear that comes with it, that'd be great. I love gear. But anyways, back to Viewing Party.
Yeah.
This is where, I mean, we get like some really incredible moments between Dwight and Pam. Of course, you know, Philip Halpert is sorry.
CeCe.
This is CeCe Halpert, right? Yeah, yes. Okay. We're at CeCe Halpert. So she is
James, Pamela and P.P. Halpert.
There it is. But we get, you know,
just
we
in
get
case you need the whole family. there's their names. Anytime you need them, I got them.
Pam can't get CeCe to calm down or stop crying or go to sleep, and of course
she's reverse cycling.
Dwight picks her up and she calms right down. We learn that this is because Dwight had to raise his older siblings when he was a baby. Is that or I don't know.
The youngest child always raises the others, right?
Yeah, right.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. We also get his whole explanation of like, just get a piece of soot, tie a string around it, suet,
or any other congealed animal fat.
pop the suet in its mouth. She'll be happy for hours.
That's right.
But yeah, anyways, as soon as Dwight's gotten this baby to calm down, Pam's like, I just can't believe this. Angela is turned on by this. She goes in and says,
dude, yeah,
my car in 2 minutes.
Dude, like, she turned on like a light, just immediately walks in, whispers in his ear, like doesn't even try to hide it. Just completely is like
right in
now.
Front of Jim and Pam. Yeah. And Dwight just stands up and says, I have something to do. And Pam's like, please, I know what you have to do. Please stay here.
I know exactly what you have to do right now.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. And then she is the go-between. Like, she's more than happy to, like, involve herself in this weird sex contract between Dwight and Angela. She's going out and she's like, what does she say? She has been so authorized.
Have you been authorized to do this? I have been so authorized.
Yeah.
Well, that moment has such a... That whole scene is just sort of encapsulates everything we're talking about, that quick exchange they have where they're sitting there and Pam's just trying to convince Dwight that they're friends, essentially. You know, it's like,
remember
I've
your concussion?
Always considered you a friend. Remember your concussion? I do. But you married my worst enemy.
I think that's a bit of an overstatement because we have kind of a charming back and forth.
And it's like, there it is. There's the three of them.
The first sort of self-reflective moment in the show, or the most self-aware moment in the whole show, probably.
And so much of it is just on the precipice of like, I just need my child to sleep and be quiet. And again, that's like Dwight's utility. And we've seen Dwight have this effect on German shepherds, you know? Nine! Good. Mm-hmm. You know, he can calm animals, he can calm babies. He has this sort of folksy wholesomeness to him that surprises a lot of characters and certainly surprises Pam in this moment. I mean, she's shocked. She loves him. And I think love's a bit of a strong, she loves me. The way Dwight uses that power over Jim of just like, she loves me. It's great.
Dwight really leverages this moment to make fun of Jim or to antagonize Jim. He's holding Jim's baby and has Jim can go get me a piece of pizza and a beer. And and he goes, beer me, Jim.
Yeah. Any chance to.
And Pam says, don't think of it as degrading. Him. Just think of it as you're moving your pizza 6 inches this way and he's moving his mouth 6 inches over to the pizza. And Dwight says, I would prefer if he thinks of it as degrading. And he takes no crust first.
Very open.
Takes now the beer. I do love also at the very beginning of that moment where Dwight comes in because Michael's in that room, and Dwight says, "You get to quiet down that baby, or do I have to?" And Pam shoots him a look that she is not having it, and Dwight just scoops up CC, and moves his hand in front of her face.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's transfixed, and Pam says, the reverse cycling ends tonight. If you could get CC to sleep, I can get my life back.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. High stakes. But yeah, another great episode, just a couple episodes after this, season 7, episode 10, China is the episode where we get Pam as the office manager or
administrator.
Administrator, thank you. And Dwight owns the building now. So everyone's complaining about how Dwight's running the building. Pam says, we're going to move. So it's interesting that like they've been so friendly up until this point, but now we're back at it and we get Dwight and Pam battling it out.
Professionally this time, in a work capacity, not personally.
Yeah. And, Pam tries to bluff and make up a building, and Dwight calls the bluff, figures out that it's not real. Oh, Pam. Yes?
Pam, you're a funny guy.
That is an incredible moment between Jim and Pam where they're standing in the stairwell, which is the place of so many emotional catharses.
Yeah.
And Pam says, if I fail at this, I failed at sales and I failed at art school, I can't fail at this too. And that's like such an important realization, I think, for us as viewers to kind of look at Pam's journey. Like she seems to have found, you know, happiness with Jim. That was like the big obstacle at the beginning of the show. But at the end, as you look at these different pursuits that she's had, like she struggled in most of them. And to have Dwight over here and basically relent and have Nate drop off the building code.
Right.
And
I was never here.
Yeah.
And that's another time of like when Pam needs. Okay, that scene in the stairwell when Jim's trying to consult Pam and she's like, well, I'm not an artist and I'm not a salesman.
Yeah.
And she has this moment where she's like, just be real with me right now. And Jim, you know, Jim is being a supportive partner of just being like, no, you're fine, you're fine. But that's another thing that she values about Dwight. And I was trying to remember a moment earlier of like when Pam just relies on Dwight to just be honest and be truthful. And that's mm-hmm. when she's suspecting Kathy or Jim of having, you know, thinking Kathy's hot.
Pam's replacement in season 8.
Pam's. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and she just
episode 7.
She's like, Dwight, tell me how it really is. And he does. And she's like, okay. And she like really values that. And that's something that whole episode is she's like, I don't want to fail. And she needs this sort of like, let's be honest and truthful about where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Dwight sort of circumnavigates all that and essentially is sort of doing the same thing Jim's trying to do of just making her feel like valued and supported. He does it in a very, very roundabout way for Dwight, you know, as far as recruiting Nate to give the building codes to Pam and all that stuff. But essentially, that's what he's doing. And it's Dwight's own way of doing it, of, you know, with a lot of covert operations. But it works.
That sort of confrontation between Dwight and Pam is also sort of teased at the beginning of the season in Nepotism, where Dwight is walking around with the camelback and Pam tries to sabotage the elevator. And they get stuck in the elevator.
It's a Nepotism.
And Dwight starts peeing in the corner.
Yeah.
I have 56 ounces of water in my bladder.
Yeah. Pry it open. Use your talents.
We have to establish a pee corner. That's funny because that episode that starts off season 7 and that doesn't really end with any like Dwight and Pam are closer now. It just sort of ends with Pam leaning out of the elevator and being like, you know, the Bart Simpson of Scranton. It doesn't really end, but this sort of resolves these building issues where it comes around here by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And we get this lovely quote.
You're breaking the law.
Impossible. I love the law.
I love the law. Catch me if I'm wrong, but is this the episode where she's like, and Cece dances on your grave, fully clothed?
That's in China, yeah.
China, yeah, so that's in this one. Okay, great.
Jim turns to the drink, yeah.
Yeah. Let me paint you a picture. Moving right along, because I think we are running out
of time. Oh, yeah, we're getting short on time.
And still so much to talk about. I did want to just include The Search, season 7, episode 15, just for this exchange with Dwight and Pam over the phone, where Pam says, oh, hey, while you're out, could you pick up some paper towels and chocolate syrup? We have ice cream. So I thought, Pam, this isn't a shopping trip. This is a manhunt / rescue mission. Pam's like, okay, I just, when you are done or anytime when it's convenient, I just thought since you're out, Pam, I'm obviously going to get that stuff. So just shut up. Okay, well, it wasn't obvious. He just hangs up on her.
Mm-hmm. We should talk about Pam's replacement. Do you want to go there next?
Yeah. We're Pam's replacement, season 8, episode 7.
Yeah, I think this is such a great episode for Pam and Dwight because everyone is kind of telling Pam what she wants to hear because she's pregnant and they're using a very gentle touch around her. But Pam does turn to Dwight to try to go after Jim, which is one of my favorite dynamics because Dwight is so ready to go after Jim. I think it's rule number one. The truth is the ultimate outcome. Rule number two, we stop at nothing. Rule number three, don't fall in love.
Yeah.
And then the scene. The scene where Dwight and Pam line up over by Creed and give him a big Toblerone. What's going on? How'd I get this long triangle? And then Dwight goes over to try to grope Jim's crotch. That's like the whole scene.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm falling down and I can't have my balance.
Ah, incredible.
That's one of the best bloopers in the whole show as well. Yeah. Well, some of the best physical comedy by Rainn Wilson. Yeah.
This exchange, too, where Pam kind of realizes that Dwight is going to be honest with her when no one else is.
Right.
And she goes, Dwight, I'm hot, right? Am I hot right now? Why would I or anyone else think that you are hot right now? I can't impregnate you. And that's the driving force between male-female attraction. Pam says, what about before? Was I attractive before? Dwight, meh, You were at your most attractive when you were 24, with a slight gradual decline and a steep drop off when you got pregnant for the first time. Gradual recovery, and well, now obviously you're at an all-time low. And she's right. She's satisfied with that honesty.
Well, it's always good for a biological assessment of any situation. Yeah.
Normally not Cavs. Welcome, but we did skip Doomsday too. I mean, just obviously another example of Pam kind of being the one to understand Dwight, being the one to you know, go to his farm, compliment him on how beautiful his home is, make the joke of Pobody's nerfect. What did you have, a stroke, Pam?
Nice stroke, Pam.
But I would also say I wrote down the whale.
The whale is an I'm glad you mentioned that. That was going to be one of my biggest ones to talk about.
Yeah, season 9, episode 7. Take it away.
Yeah, the whale is an incredible episode for Dwight and Pam, especially because it begins with them trying to coach Dwight on how to sell to women. And Pam is very much taking the lead. And there's another moment where Pam says, 10 years ago, I didn't care if Dwight got married or died to beat Fermi Bachelor, but having kids makes you so soft. I used to watch Pulp Fiction and laugh, and now I'm like, that poor gimp is somebody's child. But they coach Dwight through the selling, and I love the way that Dwight he figures out how to nod and smile, and that's like a huge thing. And then they go to pitch this big client, the Scranton White Pages, and it's Jan, of all people.
Yeah.
And he has to throw out everything you know. And then when Dwight goes to go get Clark, Pam has to stay and stall Jan. So much in the way that Dwight had to stall at the volleyball game, Pam has to stall for Dwight to come back and says, you think I have no more cards to play? Come in here, man boy. And Clark walks in and Clark says, what's going on? Where's the Quiznos? And Dwight says, you're the Quiznos. But at the end, there is a great exchange where Molly, who is actually played by Ellie Kemper's younger sister, Carrie Kemper.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. They have an exchange, and Dwight says something very nice to Molly on the way. He says, and Molly, and I know it can't be easy working for Jan. Good luck with your feelings. And Pam says, Dwight, that was really nice. You should ask for her number. And Dwight talks about how he has her license plate number.
Yeah, like, that's all I need.
He says, and when I have curried favor with her, I will let you know. And Pam says, oh, why me? And Dwight says, because you are my friend and you are a woman. And women love gossip. It's like air to you people. Air. Oh, God. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Much in the way that he doesn't want to know where their spare key is. He is like, I just need her license plate number. Yeah. I don't want her number. Yeah.
Well, we couldn't wrap this up without talking about Vandalism, season 9, episode 14. This is when we get the warehouse worker who we've never seen or heard from before vandalizes. I guess we have seen him before, but he vandalizes Pam's mural by drawing butts all over it. And
draws penis. Dwight.
There you go. Dwight comes to Pam's defense. Dwight and Nellie come to Pam's defense. But together, Dwight and Pam vandalize his truck. And we get Dwight drawing her mural on the butt of his truck, since he drew butts on her mural.
There's a fantastic quote from Dwight when Pam brings everyone together in the conference room and tries to get them on her side. And Dwight says, I'll help you. And he says, if there's one thing I hate more than art, it's crime.
Consistency, you know? Yeah, she's like, I was hoping for an angry mob, and I got Dwight and Nellie instead. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, oh,
they have a mob mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
And they play that great. Well, they try to get everyone to draw butts or big W's, and that doesn't work. So they convince Nate to tell them by isolating him from the rest of the group. We could tell him his mother is dying. That usually works.
Oh, God.
Nate, your mother is dying. And then he just falls to his knees on the cardboard.
That one is the best.
Cut to, so she's got to pull through again?
I know. Oh, God.
And he says, can I talk to her? And Dwight says, no, she needs her rest again.
Oh gosh. Those are the... Man, Dwight kidnapped his mother?
Nate is a utility tool for Dwight and Pam on several different occasions.
Yeah.
They just use him to do stuff back and forth to each other. It's his role is so funny with them.
There
falls
yeah, go ahead.
To his knees.
Oh, go, no, no. Go
There's ahead. A quote from Dwight here where he says, "Normally I find Pam to be a comforting if unarousing presence around the office, like a well-watered fern. But today she has tapped into this vengeful, violent side." And I'm like, wow, Pam is kind of a good butt. And this is going to conflict with maybe that quote, but I think one of the reasons that Pam and Dwight's dynamic is so unique is that over the course of the show, especially early on in the show, like, he doesn't sexualize Pam, really.
Right.
You know what I mean?
One of the few male characters who do not.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting to kind of think about. And then even that moment where he's hugging Pam in the injury, it's a result of his concussion. It's not something that would normally be in his character. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Dwight, you know, shows interest in Katie when she's there, but he doesn't treat Pam as poorly as like Michael does or Todd Packer or some of the other characters like that. But yeah.
You know, the quote I used at the top of the show, like, I like spending the day with a vengeful bitch. After that is basically Pam saying like, oh, you miss Angela, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, I don't want your sympathy. It makes it worse.
Right. Yeah. You're ruining the mood.
You're ruining the mood with your sympathy. And they both kind of smile and eye roll. And it's such a moment of true friendship where you're kind of ragging on each other a little bit because you know each other so well. And that's just like, you like me right now because I'm acting like Angela and you like that. And he's like, I know I do, but don't bring it up.
In hindsight,
I don't want to get emotional. Yeah.
Don't you think it would have been better if Dwight was the one who beat up Frank?
Yes. Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been better?
And then we never had to have
Brian out of this.
Yeah. And Jim would have to
from season 9.
Jim would have to make it up to Dwight again, like he did after Roy attacked Jim. Yeah.
That would have been way better. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred that greatly over any. Yeah, I don't like that character, Brian.
No. Well, and we could have gotten a really great, you know, Dwight with his chest puffed out for a few episodes afterwards.
Oh,
as the true hero of the
Why?
Office.
Why? Because I am mighty? Right. That's what he says to Aaron at the pool party. Yeah.
We all have a hero in our heart.
Yeah. He did it for Jim when Roy attacked him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Surprising that he wasn't there to do it for Pam. But any last thoughts as we wrap up our episode on Dwight and Pam?
A couple quick ones. Sorry, you want to go first?
Yeah.
Just a quick one, which is just which you'll probably get to, but just of like when we see Dwight when he's still in his vest and his suit and it's sort of one of his last talking heads, and he's sort of going over what everyone is to him, and he saves Pam as the last one, you know, and Pam you know is his best friend.
Yeah.
And he saves her for the last in that list of people. You know.
That's true. His subordinates.
His subordinates, and it's like, Meredith can properly headbang to Motorhead, you know.
Right.
And my accountant is now my son's godfather.
Right.
And my worst enemy was my best man at my wedding, and Pam is his best friend. It's really sweet, you know. And that's like we've talked about, is Pam the main character of the show, and that's certainly a supporting piece of evidence right there.
That is like the sort of button on the whole series, and Pam is the one who gets the talking head that wraps up the whole show. The only other Pam and Dwight moments I kind of had identified was when Dwight is in Florida and he thinks he's going to become the VP. Jim is talking to Pam, and Pam is the one who convinces him that he has to say something to Dwight. Just get the words out. That's all you can say. You have to tell him. And Jim does this thing where he says, Robert said, like, I did like Dwight, but now, like, I'm really going to yell at him because he didn't do a good job. And Pam says, Robert doesn't talk like that.
Yeah.
And the other one is in Work Bus at the beginning of season 9, where Jim is really pushing Dwight to get gas in the car so they can get to the pie stand, tires fixed also. And Pam says, you got to stop pushing. And that's when Dwight says, you know what, Jim, you win. Buy your wife a pie, buy the world a pie. And he climbs up on top of the bus. But just a couple moments where Pam is looking out for Dwight.
Word.
It's a sweet friendship. And beautiful. You know, the fact is, like, for a while we talked about Dwight and Jim and Pam. But this episode is not about the three of them together. This is Pam and Dwight. And that's like, she's such an important piece of this cast. And a lot of it for early on is between her as a conduit between Jim and Dwight. And the reason why their friendship is so much more potent to the show, even more than like Jim and Dwight, which is a lot of comedy in the show, that Pam and Dwight is much more the heart of the show. And it's sort of like, if there's going to be lasting lessons you take away from the show, it's that the two people like that can become friends and really mm-hmm. value each other because they worked together for so long and they mm-hmm. got to know each other and see their strengths. Even though they're very, very
unlikely friends,
people, very opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Dwight and Pam. That was really fun, guys. Let's move on to a little conference room. 5 minutes.
Conference room, everybody, now.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, done,
all right. yeah, a couple things here. I just have a few voicemails. We've had so many other questions. We haven't touched on voicemails in a while. So yeah. I'll just play a couple. This first one's just a thank you note from Abby that was really sweet and wanted to play.
That's awesome.
Hi, my name is Abby, and I just found your podcast a few days ago. I'm a complete Office fanatic and just can't get enough of The Office. Clearly, I've already kept up with The Office Ladies, their podcast. They release one a week, and fortunately, you guys have 67 episodes for me to binge. The Office is a big comfort show for me, and my life has been kind of crazy getting down to earth in this message, but I'll make it shorter. Just want to say thank you for putting in all the work that you do for your podcast, and thank you for helping me get by at work and in this crazy life right now. Much thanks to you guys, and keep up the good work. Thanks. Oh, I'm also calling from Indiana.
From where?
Indiana.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is awesome. Yeah, that's so nice. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, thanks, that Abby. Is really,
really
like,
means a lot. It does.
And we know how you feel. I mean, yeah, it's a weird time for everyone, certainly. So we're always really happy to do the show, and it's an escape for us too. And we hope it's helping you out too, a comfort for all y'all out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know this one's coming a day late because our own lives, it just gets crazy, and sometimes
we try.
It's hard to maintain the regular schedules. And
oh my life!
Yeah. yes. Which leads us to now that you bring up that quote, Edwin, we should talk about this. I think we got feedback from just about every single way on this one. Mm-hmm. But I'll just play this one real quick. Hang on.
Hi, this is Deb Ferguson. I'm calling from Okapi, South Carolina. And because I'm a certain age, I'm responding to episode 70, where you are saying how well Michael Scott says, "Toby, you ignorant slut." I don't know if you know this, but go to SNL, Saturday Night Live's first season or second season, and look up "Jane, you ignorant slut," and you'll hear exactly what Michael Scott is referencing. It's Dan Aykroyd in response to a debate with his co-anchor, Jane Curtin. So anyway, it was, I love your podcast, and I love everything Michael Scott comes out of his mouth, even if it's a throwback to Saturday Night Live.
Like I said,
that's awesome.
We got a version of that from a few different people correcting us, or not correcting us, but just being like, just
pointing
we never mentioned that quote is from SNL originally.
Word.
So.
Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's still, like, I'm still learning those things. There's still a few lines out there that Michael has that I don't quite know the context for. So, really appreciate you guys calling in with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last one here, guys. And we'll go, we'll move pretty quick on this one, but this is the last one. Let me find this. There it is.
Hey, guys. It's Grace again from Southern California. I was just watching the Thunder Milton Infinity episode. That's a mouthful. And I realized that I think that the time when Michael brings in, one of the old founders, I forget his name now, is the most cringy part of any episode in The Office. It makes me squirm. And I think that's a pretty hot take, because most people say that Scott's top is the worst, but I was just wondering, other than the run-of-the-mill, like, that I can't watch it, what are some underlying cringy moments of The Office that you guys just can't handle? Thanks.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's Robert Dunder.
I think it's Robert Dunder?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, there's an actor, John Engel, who played him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and so we've talked about this several different times throughout the course of our show. I think early on, we even did the peak Office episode in like one of our first five episodes or something.
But it never gets like, old, this topic.
The peak cringiest. Yeah, yeah. So we're taking this. We'll probably answer this every 15, 20 episodes, I bet. But we decided to say,
it's a fun one.
Let's share a moment or two that's non-Michael cringy related, because those are harder to find.
And I like the definition of like cringe is like you can't watch it.
It's
like,
hard to watch.
It's hard to watch. Yeah, because I mean, there's certainly episodes like Dinner Party that's cringe heavy, but I can't get enough. Yeah. What about you, Edwin? What comes to mind?
It is interesting when you take the Michael dynamic out of this question, because so much of it comes from Michael and the fact that Michael is sort of in charge at the office, because it speaks to kind of the formula and the DNA of the show to create cringeworthy moments without a character as sort of powerful with comedically, I guess, as Michael Scott. The one that comes to mind for me is the fight when Jim is picking up Pam and like, kind of comes up and Meredith turns around and sees them and like, stop. Oh my God, put me down. That's the moment where it's like, if you saw two coworkers doing that, like that's kind of an uncomfortable moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I mean,
yeah.
The one I'm thinking of also involves Jim, because I just watched the whole arc with Charles Minor and the episode throughout New Boss, throughout that whole arc, there's just a lot of them. But when he walks in on the party planning committee and makes Jim explain what a two-way petting zoo is, that one's pretty tough. That one's really hard.
And I love that he's stuck in the tuxedo, like he can't get out. That reminds me of, Steve Martin. Stay with me here. Steve Martin, I think it's called Comedy Is Not Pretty. And he talks about when he would go on The Tonight Show and had dressed as a woman, because he's dressed as a woman on the cover of his album. And he was the first guest on the Tonight Show. And then they bring in the second guest, and Steve Martin moved down the couch. And then he realized he's just sitting there in a dress for the rest of the show. So, like, he can't change his clothes, you know? And that's like Jim wearing the tuxedo. And then he says to Michael, Michael says, "What are you talking about? You look dynamite."
Yeah, that's the best way. Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? You're amazing. Just a lot of very uncomfortable moments with Charles Minor. Everything Jim does for a while, it's hilarious, because he just can't do anything right. Even the one where it's like Michael, or he's in 2 weeks, where he's like chatting to Michael at his office. Like, Michael put in his 2 weeks, did you? He's just like, nope, and walks out. He's just like, oh God, Jim, you can't do anything right now.
Can I give you something I noticed about this kind of moment in the show where Jim clearly doesn't know what a rundown is? At the beginning of season six, I think the episode is The Meeting, where David Wallace says to Michael, hey, can you give me a rundown of the Buffalo clients? Because they've closed the Buffalo branch. And Michael has an exchange where he's like, oh, slow down, big dog. I'll mail it to you. You'll get it Wednesday. But he knows what a rundown is. Michael knows what it is.
Yeah. That's funny. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, my gosh. I didn't catch that.
But to circle back, Sean, do you have a cringe moment for us?
Nothing makes me cringe harder than Stanley smiling throughout the entire finale. It's so weird.
You've been meatballed.
I honestly, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I could have dove deeper, but like, I have a difficult time watching the finale. I mean, there's a lot of
It smells like popcorn.
that like too. Popcorn. Yeah, okay, all right, that's enough. I mean, y'all know me.
Still the same old G.
there's some of the times when the boss tries to get sappy, I really struggle with it. So those are actually moments that I like have to skip. I don't usually watch the finale. I don't usually watch the end of Cafe Disco. I've talked about that several times.
It's like a conceptual
kind of supposed to make you cringe. Right. I just, the times that really, like, I think you're supposed to cringe, I enjoy those moments. I don't tend to skip them. It's you more when the office gets mushy that I can't take it.
Yeah.
You are
a heartless man. Cold, cold, heartless man. That's how I know you personally too. Can I really quick shout out to Andy trying to explain the phone ringing on stage during his play. That's
that's a good one.
That's really a good one. Especially when he's like, "I've killed it, the bird, like you, but I don't know that yet." Yeah. That whole exchange is just like, "Oh no, Andy, shut up!"
I'll throw out the delivery too, just like all those interactions with the hospital staff. Jim and Pam have are very uncomfortable as well.
Oh, how about when Andy tries to kiss?
Oh, so you read everything? You read the book, so you know everything.
When speaking of Andy, when Andy tries to kiss Julia, she goes, "What's a nard dog?" And he goes, "This is the nard dog."
Yeah.
Whoa! What the hell?
Good one.
He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're so pretty."
She's like, "I know it's hard." And he goes, "Yeah. Do you want to like go to a mall, walk around?"
Right? I know. Oh, man. Oof, Julia, also the name of who they try and set up Michael with in Happy Hour.
Oh, Julia, yeah.
They recycle that name. They recycle Julia and various forms of Catherine a lot on the show. Anyway. All right, guys. Well, we're running up here towards the end. Let's. You want to do some trivia? Close this thing out?
Yappers.
I do.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, guys. Well, this is to close out the second half of trivia from last week. Again, this was fantastic. Sent by Taylor Mills. A trivia just from the cold opens.
Thank you, Taylor.
We did the first half of the show last week. We'll do the second half of the show.
The Taylor can crush a car engine.
From season 5.
Taylor?
From season 5. Well, let me get the bell here.
Yeah.
Season 5, Baby Shower. What roads will Michael take to get to the hospital?
I will take Quincy Ave to Gibson.
Yes, very good. From season 5,
wow.
New Boss. Wow. What does Dwight have planned for the start of Michael's anniversary party? It's two 15-minute blocks of things.
Silence.
Yeah,
followed by a 15-minute round of applause.
No, flip that. 15-minute round of applause followed by a 15-minute moment of silence.
I really thought it was going to be a follow-up to the fire scare and stress relief where Dwight says, "I got a bomb scare coming that'll really get the blood pumping."
God.
All right, from season 6, Gossip. What is Andy's parkour stunt? What does he do? He calls it out before he does it. Or what he wants to do.
There's a gainer involved, front flip into the box.
it's truck to refrigerators to the dumpster, 360 spin onto the pallets, backflip gainer into the trash can.
Okay.
Gainer. Yep.
Gainer. I hardly know her. From season 6, Koi Pond. What festival is Michael talking about going to in this episode?
Garlic Festival.
Very good.
Oh my God.
From season 6, Murder. Dwight says, how can I pose this to you in a relatable way? You are all members of the Yakuza, and you have to be visiting the blank.
The Lackawanna Trolley Museum.
Yes, very good. Yeah. From season 7, The Search, what is Ryan's middle name?
Bailey.
Yes, we know this. From season 7, at the Threat Level Midnight, what is the delivery man's name?
In Threat Level Midnight, the delivery man? Oh, like in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Andre?
No. I don't know. Is it in Michael? The movie or in the episode? I don't actually know.
Catherine.
It's just a name tag.
Anyway, it's
Julie.
Artie.
It's
Artie.
Marty.
Catherine. Julie.
Artie.
Artie. Artie. No M, just Artie. From season 7, Todd Packer. What does Dwight say will happen to Jim during the apocalypse?
Jim will be made a warlord's jester.
Yes, very good. Creed's skull will be a soup bowl. Meredith, you'll do okay. From season 8. Christmas wishes. What are the thematic Christmases that Stanley has suffered through?
A rocking Christmas, Mo Rocka Christmas.
There's three more.
Oh boy.
I'll give it to you. Honolulu Christmas.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction Christmas.
Oh wow.
Muslim Christmas.
I wouldn't have gotten those.
Yeah. From
Muslim Christmas.
From season 8. I like this one. From season 8, Welcome Party. Does Stanley have a mustache?
Yes, he does.
From season 8, Angry Andy, what is the one cliche The Office doesn't get Phyllis to say?
Now is the time to curl up with a good book.
Yes, this weather wants me to stay at home curled up with a good book.
Yeah.
The plants are going to love this.
That's the one I was going to say, yeah.
The plants are going to love this. From season 9, Andy's Ancestry, who did Asian Jim say he sold to yesterday? What client?
Oh, systems.
Yes.
Something systems.
Yes.
I don't know it.
And I'm hoping I have a message from... Oh, it's the same last name. Oh, no. What is it? What is it?
Yeah, it's Willington Systems.
Willington Systems.
The bonus... Taylor added a bonus here. Sold them 10 cases of 24-pound letter stock.
That's a great question.
That's deep. All right, final one. Season 9, Dwight Christmas. Which shirt is Jim having second thoughts about?
The episode is...
It's, Dwight Christmas.
Sorry, Dwight Christmas. So, okay, so he's going to Philly...
Yes.
He's having second shot thoughts about a blue shirt.
Yes. The blue one with stripes. Very good. That's it. That's all
right.
The trivia. Damn, Edwin.
Hey.
It was a good one. Earth. That was fun.
Yeah.
Taylor, thank you so much for sending that in. And guys out there listening, please send us some trivia. Send us some questions, some comments. You can leave a voicemail. Our phone number is 503-694-9314. You can email us some trivia at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Please make sure that you say that it's trivia in the subject line so that we don't all three read it. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We are on patreon.com/Michael Scott. Please join us $5 a month. Become a Scott's Tot. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. And this episode, again, recorded over Zoom. Still in the coronavirus days here. We'll be together again soon, I think.
Thank you, as always, for listening. We love and appreciate every single one of you who listens. We really, engage with us. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time.
Should we put a note about next week? Are we going to have an episode?
Let's do that.
We're not totally sure. We might have to take next week off, but
we're going to try not to. We try as hard as we can to come out every single week.
Definitely.
And if not, we'll have some bonus content.
We've been doing it well over a year here. I mean, we haven't missed a week, for goodness sakes.
Aaron will eat garbage for your entertainment.
Pippity poppy, give me the zobbit.
Yes, sir.
Just smile for me. Let the day begin. You are the sunshine that lights my heart within.
Society teaches us that having feelings and crying is bad and wrong. Well, that's baloney, because grief isn't wrong. There is such a thing as good grief. Just ask Charlie Brown.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.